This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right, working class on DeerCast, another episode. It's like an early morning episode. We're all drinking coffee, not having me. A good time. Yeah. Eric's having a Mountain Dew. For a lot of people, that's kind of like their coffee. Respect it. Mm-hmm. Kurt Geyer here.
Doug Schmidt.
Eric Hammond.
Scott Sullivan.
Nick Whitwer.
So you guys are like, I don't know, we have different co-hosts all the time. Eric, you've never been on a working class on DeerCast episode.
No, this is my first time.
And
oh, whoa.
You guys are buddies of ours who both killed good deer this year.
Thank you. Congrats.
And you guys came on out to the studio to hang out and drink coffee with us.
Heck yeah.
We're adults.
We are.
I hate it. Right? Scotty, who are you and where are you from?
Well, I'm Scott Sullivan. I'm from Geneseo, Illinois. Grew up in Port Byron. And, like to shoot deer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nick?
I'm from Wisconsin, New Glarus. I'm married, two kids, and same thing. I just love them killing deer, being in the woods.
That's what it's about, man. That's what it's about. Well, thanks for doing this with us.
We do too.
Yes.
You guys both killed good deer. Scotty killed a buck that I've been kind of calling it the snortweeze buck.
Oh, yeah.
Because the story is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because Scotty, you dove in recently like heavily into traditional archery.
Yeah. Yep.
Talk about that a little bit, because to me, I will do it one day, but I think you're crazy a little bit. But I respect it at the same time.
But he, like, dove in.
Well, Scotty doesn't, do anything just a little bit. Like, you go all in when you find something you like.
I go stupid with it.
But I think that's fun, right? I mean, it keeps you entertained.
Yeah. Last year, that's when I dove into it pretty heavy. I sold my compound. Like, that's how hard I went into it. Sold all my...
Well, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you sold it all together.
Yeah, I missed like 15 deer last year with a longbow. It was fun, but like after like the 10th one, I'm like, all right, something's gotta happen. And I actually shot a doe January 9th last year.
Late.
Yeah.
Coming down to the last days.
I was like, hey, I did it, you know? I finally did it. Yeah. 8-yard shot on a doe.
It's a big accomplishment.
Sweet. Yeah, it was sweet. And I had that same mentality. I was like, well, I could do it. And I went into this year doing that. Went out to South Dakota with my recurve, which I don't know why I even did that. That was stupid. And I was like, well, I come back home, go after it at home, get close to stuff at home, and had one of my bucks at like 52 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say October 3rd.
And so like right away.
Yeah, and there I am just sitting with my recurve. I'm like, yeah, I can't do anything about this.
Sick, bro.
That's awesome. Sick. I love watching deer.
Come a little closer. Yeah. I love watching deer. You're a bird watcher. You're done. Yeah.
You just give him the parade wave as he walks by. Yeah.
Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
So then I was like, man, I like to have a wall just full of big deer.
like a resume.
Yeah, I'd like to start building on that. And I don't think I'm gonna. I could do it with a recurve, but
it'd take a lot longer.
Yeah, it'd take a whole lot longer. A
lot longer. Your skills got to be on point.
Yeah,
and it's just
You,
harder.
You literally got to shoot every day. Like it's a gap shoot with it. Mm-hmm. So. Like, I take a week off from it. It's like...
Explain gap shooting, because there might be people watching or listening. They're like, what the hell is gap shooting?
So, I use the tip of my arrow to aim.
Okay.
And, like, I don't even really use a rangefinder doing it. It's just all, you know, vision memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, 35 yards was, like, my point on. So, mm-hmm. the tip of my arrow is directly where I want to hit. And
oh, then, gotcha, yeah.
Like, anything... 26 and closer, the tip of my arrow was about 8 to a foot low to where I wanted to hit. So you just draw a straight line up, and then sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. But
wow, nice.
Sometimes it just doesn't.
I'd have really good days shooting, and then there'd be days I'd fling like 3 arrows. I'm like, nah, I ain't doing this.
Not
today.
Feeling it.
Yeah.
Not feeling it.
Just wasn't shooting good. And you got to do that with traditional, because if you just keep, I feel like you keep pushing through it, you're just going to get worse.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like, does this apply like the, you know, practice makes perfect, but perfect practice makes perfect?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because form and repetition with traditional is like everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you start capitalizing on something bad, you're just going to follow with that. So
it's almost like you dig your hole deeper and you're like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But, No, I,
So October 3rd, you're parade waving.
Yeah.
At deer.
Yeah. And, I kept going out and texted a buddy of mine, and, I'm like, dude, I'm like, you got a compound I can just bum for like a little bit. I'm like, there's this one buck.
You're
like
it addict. Just
needs to, yeah. I'm like, it needs to die.
I need to kill him.
Yeah.
I'll pay you back. I promise.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
skips town.
I want to say it was, he let me bum one, and, I get all sighted and stuff, ready to go.
How'd it feel shooting a compound again?
It was nice.
It was nice.
Wheels are for cars.
Yeah. And I want to say it was October 20th. And the one farm I hunt, my stepmom's farm, for like the past 3 years, like it turns on the 20th to like the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of buck photos then. And I had this one I thought is a buck from 2017. I thought it was this buck I named Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was on his downside. And I'm like, dang, he actually, like, he's lived a while. And the pictures I had of him were like, I'm like, he's a brute.
Mm-hmm.
And, I actually saw him, I want to say the 20th or the 21st. And 45 yards coming down into the woods, like kind of away on the backside of my food plot. I didn't have any calls with me or nothing. Like I was like, instead of just being like, meh,
right.
I was like, and he just bolted off. Like I stood there for like 10 minutes. I'm like, why did I do that? I'm so stupid. I'm like, yeah, I just blew him out of this farm.
I think you called me like, how long after that? Because you called me shortly after, right?
Oh yeah. It was like probably 20, 30 minutes after. I'm like, dude, did I just mess this up, Roy? Like,
hey, you know how I'm an idiot. I know I'm stupid?
Well, such an idiot.
Well, it happened. Austin Chandler was in the studio, and I was telling him the story, and he thought it was pretty funny. Because it wouldn't have been as funny, but the way you called me and were like you knew.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, you didn't like set him up with like a grunt, or like you just hit him with a hard snort when he's wrapped. I was like, well, you scared the living hell out of him. I, yeah. First of all. And
it wouldn't be as funny either if it didn't come from Scotty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I didn't even, like, he was just cruising. Like, he wasn't like
mind slow his own business. Walking.
Yeah. And I stand up in my bow and I'm like, he just takes off. Like, I'm like,
oops. Oh, Doug. That's like, the first one to say the F word on a jury.
Dang it. That's not surprising.
All right.
But,
Doug, you got to put
dollar in the jar.
That's $10 to Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Wow.
But
to hug one.
We should do that on the jury series every time someone cusses.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Then just put, beer just money put a snort and wheeze, just put a snort and wheeze over it.
$10 to make a wish foundation.
Just put a snort and wheeze over it.
Yeah.
We'll fix it. But I'll have Matt invoice you. So.
But yeah.
That's like, dang it.
From, I got him on camera on the same plot like 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he liked a southeast wind. And
so you scared him, but you didn't scare him too bad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Kurt was telling me, he's like, if you scared him that bad, he's like, more than likely there's something bigger in there. And he's not, you know, he's like.
Or you just scared the heck out of him.
Yeah, scared the crap out of him. And it's like, well, I'll keep hunting it. I had him, you know, every picture I had of him in the plot was on a southeast wind, and I knew my stand was good for that wind. And I think I killed him on a straight south wind because I went up to there's my plot's right below the hill from a cornfield.
Was it the first south after a bunch of norths?
Northwest wind, and then I would say yeah.
Mark, and then I learned that from Mark this year is the first south after a bunch of north winds is
really good.
Supposed to be really good, yeah. Just curious.
And so there was a bunch of deer piling out into the field, and he came into he was probably 200 yards out when he walked into the field. And it was actually the calmest I've ever been seeing, you know, a buck I was after.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like replaying it in my head after I shot him.
Do not snort wheeze.
Yeah.
The urge to snort wheeze for Scotty was so strong.
200 yards out. Just trying. He says, don't do it.
His hand over his mouth. Don't do it.
Just breathing heavy.
We're going to call you Scotty Snortwheeze from now on.
And I just watched him do his thing. And I had a couple does walk out in front of me. I had a doe with two fawns with her. And stuff was just kind of ramping up. I'm like, he kept looking over towards me and them. I'm like, he's going to do something with that doe. And sure as crap.
I can say shit on the podcast.
Hey, I don't know.
But I'll still put you down for Matt to invoice you.
But he got to about 80 yards and he started chasing that doe around. And he was gone for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that doe came out back into the field right where he chased her in. And I actually did call him in. It was actually pretty sweet.
You didn't snort wheeze out.
No, no.
Definitely not.
No, I wasn't doing that. And I grunted at him, and he looked over towards me and was kind of like, meh, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like a tending grunt, like, you know, mm-hmm. burr, 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 just kind of
like crazy. Another buck on a doe or whatever, yeah.
And that really stopped him. And he looked at me. He looked my way for like 20 minutes, just scanning.
Yeah, which is a good thing because, you know, you got their like
attention.
You piqued their interest a little bit, yeah.
And then I did just a real deep, long growl at him. And that was like hook, line, sinker.
Really?
Yeah, because he started walking, and he came to, he started walking west. And he walked straight up the tree line, like hooked around, like trying to get my wind. And he walked right where I walked on the edge of the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was kind of like,
oh crap.
Oh no.
Yeah. And no, it was like a 9 yard shot.
Money.
Yeah. Done. Buried it into the opposite shoulder.
Yeah.
Dead out in the middle of the field, 40 yards.
Oh, he died in the field.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good feeling. I watched
him go down. It was very sweet, good man. Feeling.
Man, so you're back on the Wheels Are for Cars team.
Yeah. I'm killing everything now.
Yeah, but that's what happens, though, when you take your compound out there. He's at 9 yards.
That's true.
If you have recurve, he's at 50 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it always works.
Yep. Right? My doe and my buck this year were both like 11 yards, 9 yards. The doe was 11. My buck was 9.
That's crazy.
That's funny how it works. Well, normally, like when we used to gun hunt, you know, I'd have a tough season or same circumstance, but like 1 year, I think the last time I gun hunted in Illinois was like 2010. I killed a pretty good buck, and I see him out at like 100 yards. I'm like, I don't know if I want to shoot him, and he had like a good brow, and you know, he was far enough I couldn't shot him with a bow. Mm-hmm. And I have a muzzle loader, and here he comes, pops up on the ridge right next to me, 10 yards, and I'm like, smoke, you know what I mean? Smoke pulled them right there. And I'm like, it would have been perfect with a bow, and I've waited all season. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just the way it works, I think.
Well, like,
don't move.
Even my gun bucks, my big one was like 10, 12 yard shot.
Yeah.
And I put all three slugs into them. I pumped that gun faster than anybody.
You're 173 or whatever he was.
Yeah. And that was, yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah. I hit him in the shoulder, the midsection, and then the ass.
Yeah, you were young when you shot that deer, weren't you?
Yeah, I was 16.
This buck, have you guys seen this deer?
Yeah.
In person, it is.
I don't think we've seen it in person. I think so, just in pictures.
It nets 170, don't it?
Yeah.
I believe, because I measured it.
It was
11 years ago now. Yeah. Probably actually 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge, but it's like kind of spindly.
Yeah.
Like, as far like the tines, you can grab the two and the three and squeeze them together, and you can see it like flexes.
Oh,
like,
really?
I can't believe he never broke anything off.
I know. Well, I'd get drunk and do that. I'm like, I'm going to be the idiot that breaks one off.
Snap.
Just be mad.
Starts using it as a stern stick.
It's a really impressive buck.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's how it works, though. It's like when you have whatever, you take it, though. I mean, it's cool to make a great shot. I like when you hit that offside shoulder, because it's like, what, it worries you at first if like you can be like, oh, I shouldered him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then I didn't get penetration. But if you see it how it actually is, if you hit the offside shoulder, it's like, man, you know you hit everything you need.
Hit everything going to that shoulder. So
yeah, so I like it when that happens. Like my latest buck, I hit offside shoulder, and I was just like, ooh, he's done.
You're done.
You know what I mean? You have like that confidence, and then to watch him go down in an open field where you can drive right up to it, and like, you just know, like, one, you're successful, and two, it's easy to get him out.
Yeah,
which is a bonus.
Yeah, there is nothing better than seeing him go down.
You, even if you know you smoked a buck and he goes over the hill and you don't see him go down or hear him go down, I feel like you're always like, man, I thought that shot was good.
Did I actually smoke him?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
You always question things because you don't know.
Even if it was like, that was perfect, you're like, man, all right, I'm going to give him a couple hours.
Right.
And that goes back to kind of like Austin's situation in his 190.
Yeah.
It's like.
Or he goes over the hill and you're like, you hear something like, did he crash?
Yeah, did he crash?
Yeah.
And then you start thinking even more. You're like, well, I don't know if that was him crashing or not.
Yeah, it could have been a squirrel running when he came over the hill. Well, your big buck, Doug, the 17-inch G2 buck, you smoked him, right? But you were unsure?
I thought I was a little back, but I was actually, he was quartering to me a little bit more than I thought, so it came out perfect. So we gave him like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Quartering away from you?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I actually smoked him. He only went 100 yards, I think.
Yeah.
He didn't make it off the ridge.
Yeah, but you gave that buck a little bit of time just in case, But
and the coyote still got in there a little bit.
It's a force to be reckoned with. But
yeah, I hit that buck, and it was like I hit him with a slug. You know, and you punch him in the shoulders, like, like stiff leg, the front legs. And he was even, like, he grunted, like, oh. And like, started running off. Yeah, and he piled up. I hung my bow up, and I was like, like, just start freaking out, like,
just start snorting and wheezing. Yeah.
I can finally let it out.
The urge to snort wheeze. Well, Scotty snort wheeze.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
Snorting Scotty.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. That was one of the. I'd say that was the first deer that I've put like in a pattern, and like this year I was like, wow, I actually figured that out.
Yeah,
like,
you caught me a couple times on this deer, man, and
yeah.
So, I mean, you pulled it off. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was that was like my most accomplished buck, I'd say. Like, patterning him out.
Yeah.
And, like, where he's coming, like, bedding to food. And I was like, man, I actually put it together this time. Like, it's not just a, like, get a buck on camera and you just hunt that property.
Yeah.
And hope he comes by.
What type of mount are you going to do on him?
I don't know. I just got that one mount back from Old Barn. I'd probably do that same mount, but doing the other way.
Beautiful mount, yeah.
Yeah, because like I have a
wall pedestal style.
Yeah, because I have a pedestal. I'd like to put two of them on it.
There you go.
That'd be really cool.
So they're kind of.
I've always wanted to do that.
Looking at each other.
Yeah. What is it like, break for people just listening? We can always overlay photos on the video side, but describe the buck. What is he?
He's a 9-point. He's pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
Real tall, narrow rack. But he's huge, like his body was like his neck. I just thought he was massive.
Yeah.
I thought it was that buck from 2017. I thought it was him on his downfall because when I compared those two pictures, it was so close to like their main frame.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, this has got to be him. Like mm-hmm. he's just got to be like a super old buck. And then our buddy Mark came over and like caped out the skull, and he's like, no, dude. I'm like, yeah, so just give me it. You know, just give me that.
Just like lie to me.
Yeah. He's like, he's probably like three and a half.
Mark's so brutally honest, but so nice.
Yeah.
So nice about it.
Which, I mean, I'd like him being that way, you know?
Well, yeah, you know he's not.
Yeah.
You'd rather just know.
But I'm still like, I'm sending the teeth off. Like, whatever, Mark.
You're wrong. A liar, and I'm going to prove you wrong.
He's had really nice teeth.
I mean, a buck from 2017, though, it could be an offspring of him if they're that similar.
If it, yeah. Dude, I'll show you guys pictures later. That they're like identical. Right. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But Towers was like, he had beer can bases. Like, he was just super tall, narrow, and like, it looked like beer cans off the top of his head. It was sweet.
I love the beer can comparison because I know exactly. Like, it's just a good way to like, oh, yeah. Because Nick, the buck you shot this year had beer can bases, I think.
Yeah, he's.
From what you showed me.
Yeah, you'll definitely, I'll have to bring him over and you'll measure him for me. But yeah, just, it's crazy. You can barely wrap your fingers around.
That's awesome.
I lose track. So all of our buddies, I lose track of like, who killed what, and like, and then I lose track of like what's a reshared deer. Like if I see it on Facebook or like the group, because Nick did a lot of the work. You were kind of the foreman on the studio construction here. So a round of applause for Nick.
Yep.
Because you were, man, you were the job foreman on a lot of it. You and Eric kind of led the projects, and
we'd still be working on it if Nick wasn't here.
We might be. The studio would be
the bar.
Everything else would not be done. Nick came out. I mean, you came out for a weekend.
Yeah, no, it was fun. Yeah.
I mean, the bar got like basically everything but like stain and epoxy and all that stuff.
That first night I rolled in, I don't know, I got here like late. It was like 8:30. Me and Eric started framing the bar right away.
We started right away.
Yeah.
Like, we're here. We might as well start doing something.
I think we worked on it until like midnight. So we had most of the frame up that night. And yeah, just kept plugging away all weekend.
It helped that we were all excited. Like, we had just got the place.
Yeah.
And so we were like just wanting to hang out here to get it all done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It worked out. The time worked out. But I mean, yeah, you killed it, man. You did, I don't know how much work, a lot, but the majority. So. You're the this is like your second home. So anytime you need to come here, you have.
I appreciate it. No,
we're gonna get you a big golden key to the studio.
Just gotta throw it through the front door.
Yeah. You have to get in.
Yeah. The key don't actually work. Just throw it through the glass.
Yeah, just part of the thing, part of the deal. But as a thank you, we set you up with some stuff, and
you
put it to work this year, man.
Yeah. So I mean, I've been bull hunting for, what has it been now, 8 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I had an old Diamondback Bowtech that my buddy gave me, and I've been shooting that for years and had a lot of success with it and everything, but it's basically a child's bow. Like, it's real small, and anybody that knows what the Diamondback is like, it's real, which I like because I've killed a lot of deer on the ground too, inspired by whitetail adrenaline. But you guys set me up with that Elite Cure, and that thing was just a game changer. And going, this was my first single pin sight too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie, it kind of messed me up a little bit, like trying to sight it in, like this is really screwing with me.
I'm used
to all my pins and everything. But after I got used to that, it just opens up everything. Oh, yeah. Like, everything's so, and how you can actually fine tune that thing and go by the exact yard is just crazy.
That's my favorite. And we're talking about HHA. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, that's a question a lot of people have. It's like, man, what did you have a deer at 20? Well, I live by my rangefinder.
Yeah.
So it's like a loophole rangefinder sits on all of our chests, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if a buck's at 28 yards, instead of shooting them for 20 and aiming a little high, or 30 and compensating or whatever, 28 yards.
Yep.
A buck's at 52 yards, 52 yards. You're not.
Yeah, there's no there's no splitting pins. It's just right there.
And that's what I think I'm like, I find I make better shots.
Yeah, more confident.
I'm shooting for the yard that the target is actually at.
And I'm arrived too. I take my 20-yard pin and start backing up and see when that arrow starts to drop out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then I know I can get like 32 yards with my 20-yard pin.
Before it's like out of
before it's like, out of you know, vitals. A major drop, mm-hmm. right?
HHA has a bunch of really good videos on their YouTube that like yep. breaks all that down. That's anytime someone's like, hey, man, I have a question. I'm like, man, their YouTube is so good. It's better yeah. than I'll explain to you in a message. Like, and it's visual. So yep. if you need help, it's there. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you're liking it.
Oh, it's so much fun. Even like, so after I got like, this is where I shoot my deer usually and everything and getting all those like fine tuned and then going the next step and let's just have some fun and shooting at like 70, 80 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun to watch your arrow arc that much.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's been a blast. And yeah, pretty much as soon as you guys sent that, I was shooting that literally every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my bad. I should have shipped it out a lot sooner.
No, it's fine. it was in the right timing, but it's because I got everything set up and good to go. So going into the season I felt like super confident, like
good.
Screw that. No, I mean Bowtech still makes good stuff, but still like
yeah, everybody makes good bows.
Let's go. So and I hunt a decent amount of public, and then I got a few the private pieces that I hunt are interestingly set up, but it's like I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So, and it was just weird this year with like work and I'm self-employed. So just trying to get that timing in. Mm-hmm. So that's where the DeerCast thing comes in like really handy. Cause yeah. it's like, I'm going to have to work this weekend. Then you have kids and then you just throwing all that stuff. It's like really trying to cram in like good days to hunt and make it worth your time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And all the work that you do put in.
That's the number one value I think in DeerCast.
Yeah. It really breaks it down for you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So that's been great using that. So I went out a few times on a public piece that's near me in New Glarus and was seeing deer and just nothing that was really getting me too excited. And then it was first week in November, I finally, like, work was getting a little bit more reasonable. And my wife's family, they have this vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, it used to be like just deer crazy, but the way they have it, they've torn so much down, it's like, I don't know how many acres it is actually of vines, so the deer don't use it that much. Now there's like this finger of woods and then bluff on each side, so you can hunt it, but you really have to make sure, like, these are the only days you're going to go in there, because once you're in there too much, the deer just they move.
Do the
around
deer then. Eat a lot of those grapes?
They used to back in the day, because when he first started that, like, he had the damage control tags for me and everything, and I had to work on that, because like it was but now it's been set up for I want to say like 5 years, and They kind of do their thing a little bit, but not like to the point where he has to get crop damage tags or anything like that.
Right. I see a bunch of deer with like purple lips.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you sipping on the wine over there? Yeah.
And then the neighbors who butt against that, there's one guy who does a TV show and he hunts really hard. And then another guy across the parcel who he's got a huge food plot. So I know they're going in there. So it works, but you just got to pick your days and know what to go in there. But it was that weekend, November 6th, I went in there and did a hang and hunt on that and got set up. And I even got in there later than I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like 2 o'clock and the rut activity was just insane. There were bucks chasing everywhere. And I think I saw 8 bucks that night and they were all shooters.
Oh, really?
But nothing like one of a really nice 10 that I got, there's no way I could have stopped him. Like, he was on a doe and he's just, but like it was right before last light. I heard one on the other side of the bluff and I had my mad call, mm-hmm. that buck growl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
the old school one.
Yep.
It's old school now, which is funny.
Oh yeah. And let a long rip on that and just put it away. Picked up the bow and I had this beautiful 8 come walking right into it. He knows what was up. He's looking for it and everything. He comes in 34 yards, draw back, squeeze off, and right at the last second it hits a limb just boom, right in front of his hoof in the front. He goes just bolting off. And I'm just like, you idiot. And my reaction was just,
meh.
Yeah. And he actually stopped and looked right at me.
Oh, I'm like, pinpointed you.
I'm like, I can't believe he stopped. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like standing there with my no arrow knocked again. I'm like, well, so I grabbed another arrow, drew back again. I guessed him at about 40 yards and squeezed off and it went low, but I couldn't tell if I hit him or not.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was all like, oh man, like, what did I do with that? And he went off and he kind of mule kicked, but not really. Cause I talked to you that night too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And went down over the bluff, and then I'm sitting there for a little bit, and then on the other side of the bluff, because I'm right in the middle of that, kind of between the two, I look over, and about 100 yards, I see another buck just making a scrape. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, the amount of time that it took him to go around and up, I'm like, I wonder if that's that deer.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks fine. I got the binos on him and everything, too. I even tried barking so he would turn his head. Because if he
I
would
love that, actually.
Because I just wanted to see, like, if you turn your head, I'll know exactly if you're that deer or not.
Right.
But he wouldn't do it. So
he didn't. Did he even hear you?
I don't think he did. I mean, he was the way it's set up, and then there's a cattle farmer down in the base. I'm actually hunting in the, so it's my uncle in law's property in that woods, but they lease it. So you actually have to be careful. There's bulls in there too. Mm. So, but anyway, so they're used to, you know, commotion and everything with all that. But right. But yeah. So then I just, and the way it's so brushy and everything in there, so I got down, pulled out, and that was it. And then I went right back first thing in the morning, and I actually went back to that, left the stand and went back in the exact same spot, brought a dummy arrow and shot that exact same, and it buried the arrow. So I'm like, all right. So then I started looking for blood, hair, nothing. Even got some permission from the neighbors, like, hey, I don't have any blood, but can I at least kind of like just go in look this direction and stuff, just see if anything starts coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing did, so I was pretty bummed. I went back home. Another buddy of mine shot a really nice buck, so I was helping him kind of butcher it up and everything. I was kind of down. He's like, hey, are you gonna go out tonight? I'm like, I don't know, I'm kind of like a little bit deflated,
but, yeah,
you know, I gotta get back in it and everything, so just go out
hey, at least you didn't snort wheeze at it and it just run off.
No, that's true. I'm
yeah. Sorry,
I'm not,
Scotty.
I'm not that stupid, but
Scott Hall. Jeez, okay. Scott's never gonna live this down.
Idiot. You dumb idiot. Scotty Snorwees.
Just the aggressor.
You know what? I don't even need this podcast.
I am the aggressor.
Sometimes.
Scare everything.
I love it.
But yeah,
Daddy's the dominant butt. It's Daddy's house.
That deer was such a wuss. He just ran off.
Yeah,
it's not worth my time.
That's how Scotty judges his deer.
Scotty, like, flexes at him.
If they ran away or not.
Yeah, he's like, yep. He's one to go after. He's definitely scared of me. Coward dumb. Okay.
But yeah, so then went back out. So that was Sunday. So that would have been the 7th. I just, the way it was set up and the way I had all my stuff ready, I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to go back to the vineyard. So, and I'm especially after the action that day, but part of me was like, I spent a lot of time that morning looking for that deer, but if the rut's on, it's on.
Mm-hmm.
So, went back out and I, put the stand probably 80 yards, further south where I originally shot at that buck the night before, and, got set up, and only 20 some minutes in, I had a doe run through and a nice like 125 inch, buck come running through.
Mm-hmm.
25 yards, and I'm just like, just not feeling it, but yeah. it was cool and everything. And then I don't know how many minutes later, I heard a grunt, look over, and right over the side of the bluff, this guy comes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here we go. Like, yeah. I didn't even have to think.
The one
like,
you shot at?
Nope, a different one. I'm like, he's a good one. And actually, I saw him, I had a chance at him the year before, and I thought he got killed gun, because the rumor had it.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nice buck then too, and I have some trail cam photos of him, but not as heavy. But he's super heavy. Was super heavy this year.
You recognize him right away?
Not right away, but as soon as he came in closer, I'm like, I know that buck.
Yeah.
So I drew it was perfect because I knew exactly where he was going to follow where those other two deer just came through. So and I ranged it before, so I knew exactly 26 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Drew back on him, and I literally said out loud like, don't F this up. Like, we're not doing this again.
Yeah.
This is going to be done. So I was perfect on everything. Like, cause I think another thing I did with that other buck too is, you know, just when you're starting to see deer again in the beginning of the season, you're not used to it. You make dumb mistakes.
You get excited a little easier.
I think I dropped my bow too quick.
Oh, I gotcha.
So
yeah. Like looking for the shot or just whatever. Gotcha. Yep. Yeah.
So just made sure that everything was absolutely perfect and just did that squeeze off and just felt like Ross, like, you are so done.
Yes.
Yeah. You're so done.
Yeah. Ross zapped that prick right in the heart.
it was perfect. So yeah. So even before the arrow got to him, I'm like, this is money. Went just bare, complete pass through, mule kicked. I could see as soon as he was 5 yards into running, just pouring blood.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran out. He ran exactly 26 yards and he's going down the drainage. And then he does a little wobble and he tries to make it up, back up the bluff. and he just rolls right over. And I heard, awesome. I heard his last breath from the stand.
Oh, yeah. Dang. So like the confirmation and everything
Yep. No brush in the way. I just got to see the whole thing. And I'm like, that's awesome. Oh, it was just such a
good feel, especially relief, after the miss.
Well, right? Yeah. Just to get that redemption again. I was just like, okay. Like
the next day.
Exactly. Around the same time, actually.
So, awesome, dude. Congrats.
So yeah, walking up to him on everything too. And like, and he, I was definitely surprised by him because he looked like a good buck when I shot him. But when I actually got up to him and put my hands on him, like he was heavy.
He's heavy. Like his base is past his G1s, like, right?
On his left side at his base, it's almost got like that flat spot too.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know how many inches wide that is, but it's just, it's crazy.
You have to bring him down next time.
I will.
Tape on him.
And he's got, he's a 9.2.
Really?
Because he's on his right side, he's got a split, split G2, and that's really cool the way that kind of bevels out and everything. Mm-hmm. So just a really cool deer. And I'm actually, when I get, I'm getting a wall pedestal of him, and I'm gonna build the pedestal and everything, and then I'm gonna have on the post and everything some vineyard like grapes and stuff.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. You go to Hobby Lobby.
Yep.
Go to Hobby Lobby.
Getting the glue gun out and everything.
Yeah.
My wife's gonna be like, "What are you doing?
Getting crap? I'm on Pinterest.
Leave me alone. Yeah, you can drink some wine and talk about it.
But that was, especially because my daughter now, she's 2, and my kids are always they're always used to, you know, deer dead every year and being around and everything, but they're getting to the age where they're starting to like, "Dad, you gotta kill like big deer."
Yeah,
like, we're not messing around anymore, Dad. We're past the doe stage. Like my daughter will get upset, like, "What, you didn't get a buck tonight?" Yeah. So yeah, it was.
I'm trying my best. It's
like, just automatically giving you a shit when you get home.
Daddy's having a hard time. Okay? So, this guy doesn't have kids. That he knows about.
You snort wheezed at him, Dad.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah, you're going to the garage. Get out of the house.
No Peppa Pig for a week.
So that next day we got to do some really cool pictures, and I pulled the kids out of school early and everything.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
that's awesome.
Best memories right there, man.
Oh yeah.
I remember my dad picking me up from school with a buck, and the guy or buck. I wasn't that young. I was a little older, but came and got me from school and didn't tell me that it was in his truck. It was a cool day. But yeah, they'll remember.
Giant.
Just a
monster. He probably pulled up like, just, "Yeah, I'm the king."
Yeah.
My dad was on top of the world. But I think that's the stuff your kids will remember like crazy. You know, it's like, "Man, when you shot that buck, came and got me out of school." Because I'll tell you, I kill a buck, I'm going right to school and be like, "Hey, we're gonna go get lunch."
Hey, he's not feeling good. He's gonna come along with me.
Look at him. He's not feeling good at all.
He's laughing. I've never seen him do that before.
I've never seen this kid laugh in my life.
That is a cool thing about New Glarus is a little bit more uppity and everything too. But I'm surprised with the school the way they are. That week, like in November, they were talking about deer. And one day when I had a doe, the teacher actually wanted to come out with Kate, my daughter, who's 2, and like, "Can we go see the deer and everything?"
Oh, really?
So it's cool. It's cool that community, like,
open-minded to it.
Yep. Like, "Oh, you're getting picked up early because your dad got a deer." So it's cool.
That's
to
super cool.
Still see that. Like, you definitely won't see that in Madison, but
yeah, I don't see that. I don't know. Illinois around here is cool. I'm surprised they don't do days off in Illinois and Iowa and stuff for like.
Yeah, if I was a teacher, like, season. I'm coming with.
Right? I want to see it too.
Yeah, I want to see it too.
Our school never did, but there was always a pile of kids.
That just took off.
I'm not going to school.
We had the high school I went to was technically year round.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got 2 weeks off every quarter.
Yeah.
However that works. And one of the quarters was October 1st. So
nice.
High school I'd hunt for 2 weeks straight.
Heck yeah.
And that was cool. That was the only good thing about high school, I think. But
yeah.
I missed a lot of days shotgun hunting.
Well, I would always take a week off in November and just disappear. And I would just let my teachers know, like, "Hey, I'm going to need to get caught up on homework because I won't be here."
Daddy's hunting.
Daddy's hunting.
Just letting you know, I'm not going to do any of this.
Yeah.
So.
All this math, not going to need it.
Don't need math.
I'll get it done, I promise. Throws it in the trash can as he walks out.
Yeah.
Love you need to wipe the blood off your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, boys, I appreciate you guys coming in to tell your buck stories.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot of fun.
It was.
Scotty, you're a funny dude. Nick, thanks, I'm glad to finally get you on one, man.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast.
And we're drinking coffee. Doug, you didn't have any. Oh, you have a energy drink. A little
pick-me-up.
A monster.
I'm going to have another coffee,
I think. I like the morning recording. This is nice. Yeah.
We don't do them often, but they're a good time when we do them, I think.
It's something different because it's always after work and we're kind of exhausted.
It's like we're kind of lively and like going off a coffee buzz is fun.
Yep.
So
I definitely have a caffeine high right now. I feel like I could run a mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can't.
Like, I kept grabbing my. I know. No, you can't.
Cigarettes, and I'm like, hey, fat. I feel like I could. Physically, no, I couldn't.
Mentally, feel like it, yeah.
Mentally, I want to. Mentally, something I want to do.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Well, I think it's time to jump into a giant tracker segment here. Yep. I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate you guys watching. Eric, I'm glad you're finally on Working Class on DeerCast.
I'm here, boys.
How's it feel?
It's awesome.
As we get moving forward, the first 10 roughly was kind of awkward scheduling, but you know, as we get going, it's going to be a lot more of the full crew.
Need to get in our groove a little bit.
Yeah, it's getting in the groove. It's getting things kicked off, and this is all working towards that. So we're excited for the year.
Absolutely.
So, Giant Tracker segment. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you guys. Hey guys, Giant Tracker, another segment. We have Bailey Patton from Kansas, right?
Yep, Kansas.
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for doing this. I know we're both busy, so it was kind of tough to line up schedules, but that's a good thing, right?
Good problem to have.
Good problem Absolutely. To have. And you're probably just a busy guy because you're like killing big deer and appearances and stuff like that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's got a lot of publicity, but it's been cool. You know, it's been real awesome to, you know, see all the congratulation texts and posts and everything like that. So it's been really cool.
Good. Hey, before we get going, what do you do for a living?
I work with Garmin here in Olathe, Kansas. Working the global supply chain operation side of things. So
very cool.
Yep. Very just cool. Started that, you know, here probably 4 months ago. Graduated with my master's last year, finished up my college baseball career this last year. So
dang.
It was nice, you know, this fall having more time to hunt. And really, you know, once people think, you know, once you start working, you'll have as much time, mm-hmm. but you know, playing sports in college, it'll take time away from you, but it's been really, really cool this fall. So
awesome, man. That's cool. That's an interesting job, it sounds like.
Yep. It's tough right now, but you know, it's just how the world is going right now. So
yeah. Well, I imagine too, once you get like the swing of things a little more, you know, it'll just come be your day, you know? So
absolutely.
So let's talk about this buck, man. It's a Kansas giant. Kansas, of course, everybody knows is Kansas to me has always kind of been on the bucket list as like, Kansas whitetail is one of the whitetail bucket list hunts, yeah. I think.
I would totally agree, man. It's growing up here has been, you know, just a blessing. You know, I started bow hunting probably when I was 14, 15. You know, my brothers both do it. You know, it kind of got passed down from my grandpa. He's over in Illinois, on the Illinois Indiana border. And he got like 68 or 70 mounted deer on his wall.
No kidding.
So, you know, he kind of passed on that passion to us. And he's like, you know, when we first started, he's like, you guys got, you know, great ground to do it, you know. So we've, you know, I've just started, you know, ever since I was probably 14, 15, just gaining permission places, you know, going to do work for people,
mm-hmm.
You know, really just do everything I can just to try to get as many spots mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of keep those spots toned to how I want them. And this buck actually came off of a permission piece, a super close family friend that, you know, my dad grew up bird hunting it. They used to shoot pheasants up there. And, you know, we just started deer hunting about, I'd say 6-7 years ago. And we really started putting food plots in, you know, a couple years ago up there, and working on, you know, like the habitat side of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really paid off. You know, I'm getting trail cam pictures now with, you know, 15, 35 deer in them. You know, at the same time in daylight. And, you know, it's like, you see that stuff on TV. You're like, it's not, you know, it's not real.
But
you know, it really can be, you just got to put the work in and, you know, just understand habitat management, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So that's actually been pretty cool. That particular piece is, you know, 160 acres, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, which is not big.
Yeah, it's not huge. It's good, but it's not massive. You know?
Exactly. You know, there's some Kansas pieces. You know, I know some guys that got thousands of acres.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can do, you know, they can create it however they want. So you kind of got to, you know, play with the card you're dealt. But, you know, our place sets up pretty good up there. A lot of CRP, a lot of bedding.
CRP is fun to hunt. It sounds like what
so far, I mean, you haven't got too far on the property. It sounds like what I envision when I think of Kansas.
Yeah, man, it's, you know, it's got those thick, you know, hedge thickets. Mm-hmm. You can't even, I mean, you got, I got to stand in there. I killed a deer 2 years ago there, and in one of those thick, you know, hedge thickets, and you can't even shoot, you know, unless they're 20 yards because it's just so thick.
And it's probably fun to hunt because every deer you see is like, when you see it, it's like right here.
Right there. Yeah. You don't even know it's there until within, you know, within bow range. You know, so really with this deer, we got a picture, and, you know, to this day, I still think it's him. We got one picture last year of a deer. You know, we knew he was, we could only see about one side of his rack. It was a huge 10 point sign. It would have been this side. And obviously that, you know, this year he threw on this extra split inside.
Yeah.
But I was like, dude, that's, I mean, that's probably a five-year-old deer. You know, and we're, you know, we're hunting maturity. We're looking for age.
Really
even antler quantity. You know, my dad shot a 170 inch deer up there, you know, probably 3-4 years ago, but you know, we really hadn't taken very many, many deer off that place. And so this was like, you know, one of the first big ones we had, and he strolled through late November last year, one picture of him. I was like, man, we got to find, you know, we're already tagged out, all of us. And you know, we were like, we got to find out, you know, where he's living, stuff like that. So this summer we put in, we had the farmer put in beans to leave them standing. And we knew, you know, all summer they'd be green, they'd be hitting them. And, you know, sure enough, first picture we had this year was just this giant. And he's full velvet, and you know, he's running around with a bachelor group of bucks. And so, you know, we started honing in on that area, and really, you know, he was living all over the farm. I mean, he, you know, 160 acres isn't that much for a deer to travel. So we, you know, we set cameras up basically perimeter, and you know, we had him on two main spots, and you know, all summer he was daylight, which is, and you know, you're not used to seeing deer daylighting, but you know, in the summer they're unpressured. They're on their patterns.
Yep.
We got beans everywhere. But we had put in a couple clover plots, a couple chicory plots, you know, just little micro plots thinking, you know, late November, early November, you know, maybe we'll catch them coming off the bedding. But really, you know, the hunt, you know, I was like, I was just so anxious to get in there. He was on the pattern. So, you know, it was just basically counting down the days till, you know, September, I think like 8th was opening day or something.
Yeah, and that's quite a bit earlier. We're in Illinois, and October 1, you know, is every year. So, I mean,
so you know, Kansas is early. It's like September 8th or 12th or something, you know.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know, we got a good chance to catch them, you know, on the summer pattern still. You know, warm temperatures. It's, you know, it's not what you're used to when you're bow hunting. But, you know, my brother and I, he's a junior in high school. He's like, dude, I want to come with. And I'm like, yeah, we got double stands hung. Excuse me. So, you know, we started hunting. I didn't go opening day because we were going to just play it as smart as we could. You know, we knew he was there.
At this point, did you know how big the deer was roughly? Did you have a guess?
You know, I was thinking he was, I mean, I knew he was going to be high 80s, a gross score.
Yeah.
High 80s, you know, I had some buddies saying, you know, do that deer is probably 95 plus. And really, we were looking at age. We're like, dude, he's fully mature.
Right,
it's obvious. And, you know, he was just super cool looking. So, our first hunt for him, we went in there, I think, I don't know what day that was. Early September, probably like 15th of September. And, you know, we didn't see him. We saw a couple does. They fed in the beans. We had good entry exit. And so, we snuck out. And then we started getting pictures of them on one of our other cameras, which is just on a huge hedgerow. And so this hedgerow, what it does is, you know, it protects the crops. And there was actually corn on one side and beans on our side. And so, you know, it's just basically in the middle of nowhere. It was hedgerow with crops, and then it went to CRP and then back to our bedding. And he was coming from our bedding, from the CRP to, you know, through that hedgerow.
Yeah,
walking right down it. And we had pictures of him, you know, daily. And so, you know, I like, we might start to have to hunt that, but we had to have a north wind, and, you know, most of September is south.
Right.
So, you know, we had to keep hunting our bean food plot, you know, just hoping, you know, with a south wind, hoping he'd come eat there. And our second time we actually went after him, we were sitting there, my brother and I, and we probably had another 30 minutes of light. And I looked up to the CRP and I could see his rat coming. You know it's him.
Of course, yeah.
When you see something like like that coming through the CRP, you're like, no, that's him.
Right.
And we're sitting there and he's closing the distance. And, you know, our wind kind of started swirling. So I was getting nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell he was kind of nervous coming in. You know, he was kind of doing the little head lift and,
right.
you know, throwing his nose in the air.
Doing big buck things.
I'm like, dude, he's going to smell us. And, you know, he kept coming straight at us. And I'm like, he's definitely in range. I mean, he's probably at 45 at this point. And he's about to come out of the CRP into the beans.
He's at 45 yards at this point. So he's in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's getting in. And so then he steps into the beans and he's just coming. I mean, literally face straight at us. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm hooked on my D loop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's going to happen. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm not going to draw yet. I'm just going to be patient. We got plenty of time. We did not expect it to be early, you know, this early.
Right.
And he just stood there and he wasn't looking at us, but he was just kind of nose in the air, just kind of scanning. And I'm like, he's got a turn. And, you know, I'm like sitting there waiting to pull back. At one point he got to 34 yards and I was like, you know, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And he just really just turned completely 360 towards his butt was facing me and just started walking straight back to the CRP, not spooked or anything. He didn't even eat, just turned around and walked. I mean, he had to have caught a whiff or, you know, got a bad pull, wind, something.
Deer like that, man, I feel like they catch, this sounds crazy, but you know, big bucks. So you might know what I'm talking about. They can almost like sense the aura of you being there.
Yeah. It's crazy. It is crazy. And so we're sitting there, you know, we were bummed that night. And I was like, you know what, you think about it prospectively. We didn't spook him back. You know, he walked off. We watched him walk into the CRP. You know, he was still, you know, thrashing on some CRP. And
yeah, that's a win still.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we had him in bow range. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a deer also like frustrating, this.
But a win.
it's frustrating, but it's a win. And so we had planned on going up there that first week in October. And, you know, I was like, I'm not going to hunt mornings. You know, it's still early. We don't want to booger him. And we started getting pictures of him on that hedgerow. And so that hedgerow acts like there's no way you could access that in the mornings because we would have to walk straight through the beans and you know, that's where they are all night.
Yeah.
So, and we had daylight pictures of him. We left on Friday night from my parents' place. I picked my brother up. We were just driving to the farm. We weren't going to get there in time to hunt Friday, but we had daylight pictures of him in front of that stand on Friday night. So we were like, this is awesome.
Getting excited. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're sitting there, we get to the cabin, got a little, you know, double wide trailer right there on that property that we can stay. So it's super cool. And you know, we're sitting there in the trailer. We're like, dude, do we just try to hunt in the morning? Like, do we risk it? And you know, eventually I was like, no, we're not going to do it. It's of course I wake up, you know, 6 a.m. on Saturday. And, you know, we got the cell camera starts texting me and he's there broad daylight right in front of that stand. But I'm like, I still don't think we could have got in there.
Yeah. You could have bumped him going in and then he never would have been there. Yeah. That's what you got to tell yourself anyway.
So that's what I kept telling myself, even though, you know, we're kind of kicking ourselves. We're like, dude, I mean, we're within 700 yards of this deer right now sitting in the cabin. And he's right there 10 yards from our stand. But, you know, we were like, we're just going to go in there early. So we went in there it was October 2nd and we went in there early on that Saturday and, you know, we had an awesome hunt. I think we ended up seeing like 13 or 15 does. They filtered out early and, you know, it's just one of those nights where you're like, dude, it's going to happen. Something's going to happen. We saw a little buck and he came out of the CRP and then got kind of like right on the hedgerow we were sitting in. And he was probably about like 80 yards from us and we knew he was coming our way. Mm-hmm. And we'd had pictures of that little, it was like a little spike or a little forky and he was hanging around with this deer. And I was like, dang, man, he's not with him.
Right.
So, you know, we're like, dang it. And we're sitting there and I can't remember what time sunset it was, but you know, shooting light was 30 minutes after sunset. And so at this point we had like 10 minutes of shooting light left.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm like, dude, it's gotta happen. And my brother's sitting in a hang on right above me, kind of on the backside of the tree. And I'm like, turning up. I'm like, you see anything? And we were like making eye contact and we hear a twig snap underneath of us. and we both put our head down, and this deer is right underneath us.
No way.
He was at 10 yards when we first saw him.
How did he slip in on you? Like, was it windy?
We had no idea. It wasn't too windy. I mean, it's probably 7-8 mile an hour wind.
Yeah, it's like no wind is what I mean.
We could hear the does probably 50 yards out in the beans walking around. You know, the beans were kind of drying up at that point. And this guy, I mean, he snuck in right on us. And I grabbed my bow and I hooked on, and I'm like, dude, he was just right behind a little evergreen for me at 10 yards. And I'm like, he just needs to take, you know, 3 more steps. And, you know, it feels like an eternity when you're sitting locked on. And he started walking. So I drew, didn't even have to stop him. He stopped and I got the Garmin, the zero, sight for my bow. Mm-hmm. So I ranged him as, you know, I've got full draw, and he was 6 yards, and it was like a negative 48 degree angle or something, like straight down.
Yeah.
And so I buried the pin, like he was kind of quartering away. So I buried the pin, like back rib, like top back rib, and just squeezed it off. And you know, it hit him hard. At that point, all we could see was light knock go into him. And it's the arrow stayed in him, and he whirled around, you know, mule kicked and took off straight back towards our CRP and back towards that thick timber. Mm-hmm. And you know, we were in shock.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, we high-fived one time, and, like, we didn't say a word, and we were just, like, listening and watching. And then, you know, a minute went by, and we were like, no way. And we just started freaking out in the stand, and we were trying to be quiet.
I bet.
I'm holding on to my safety harness, and he's you like, might fall out of the stand. And we were like, dude, this is crazy. And it was only me and my brother up there.
Did he film you? Did he film it?
He was trying to, and he filmed him coming in on his phone. Mm-hmm. We just had it on our phone.
Yeah.
The video looks good. And then as he's swinging the camera, it caught like a limb that was closer, and it mm-hmm. focused, and then it went like black. Like it looks like.
Yeah.
But you can tell when he's coming in, it was definitely shooting light, and it would have been good camera light still, mm-hmm. but he wasn't really. He wasn't going to say anything to me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, don't shoot him.
when I'm at full draw, you know.
Right.
So, you know, we made a plan. I called my dad and told him. And we're like, dude, we're just going to go down and double check, see if there's blood. And then we're just going to go back to the cabin.
Yeah.
So we literally climbed down and, you know, we scanned the grass. There's good blood. We got back to the cabin, started calling some buddies, you know. We were like, all right, do we go after him tonight? You know, what do we do? And, mm-hmm. you know, it was going to get down to, you know, mid 40s, low 40s that night.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I don't know. You know, it all happened so fast. I don't want it to be a one lung hit. And then we push him and, you know, he goes a county over and you got to fight permission and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, let's just get everybody there first day, you know, at daylight the next morning. Let's go mm-hmm. track him. So that's what we did. You know,
you slept like a baby.
Oh, dude, I didn't sleep a lick. I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't know why, but you're telling your mind to like remember it better than what you can remember it. I'm like, I got it. I have to like remember where, and you just don't. And
well, I think there's so much going on. And then if you don't see the deer physically go down, always, no matter what, you're like, oh, crap. It's just the way it is, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It can be with any deer. And then, you know, with one this caliber, it's, you know, it's you're doing worse. Everything. And so, you know, we trail him that next morning. And he actually went, you know, it feels a lot longer when you're going through that thick hedge stuff.
Yeah.
But he actually went back into the timber and then busted straight out into the standing corn. So we recovered him he was in the standing cornfield.
No kidding.
So he busted back out into the standing corn, which was odd, but there was some like waterways with some, I think there's water down in there. So I think he was trying to get there. He didn't make it that far.
How far was it total? If you had to guess,
I'd probably say 180, 200 yards, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, it's when you're going through that thick stuff, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, definitely.
And you could tell he was just going, no beds.
Right. He was on a death run pretty much. Yeah. Did you have any doubt? Like, were you getting nervous on the trail at all? Were you like,
oh, I did get really nervous. So we had good blood. We hadn't found the arrow. Then I did find the arrow and it was clean. Not a drop of blood on it. I don't know if, and it fell out right on the edge of the CRP in the timber on like a mowed path.
Yeah.
So I don't know if like a coyote came along and like
licked it clean.
I'm telling you, because the arrow came out, then you start seeing good blood. You know, it's coming out at that point.
You know what? It could have been a possum ran up to it and just licked it clean. And then
you have no idea. Yeah. I mean, you could see like some fat, like some of the fat residue that you'll get after you try to clean them off, the arrows off. But we're like, what in the world? So that got me worried. But we were still on good blood. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to think too much into it. We left the arrow where it was. But we recovered and we had, you know, my mom, my dad, my two brothers, and my girlfriend and the farmer. We were all there. So, you know, that's when the celebration began.
Oh yeah.
I bet. We scored him and he went 201 rough, you know, just like a gross score.
Yeah. Yeah. Green gross score.
Yeah. He'll get officially scored, I think, in February. And I just got the skull cap now because I'm doing a pedestal mount. It'll be pretty cool. I'm doing, one of the hedge trees from that hedgerow that we shot him on. Yeah. So
show him off a little bit, man. That's for people listening on the audio version of this, you got to get in DeerCast and watch the video version, man. That is a true giant. And he's,
I mean, you can see, I mean, my pinky to thumb is 7 inches and you know, he's got 3-4 on that.
Good twos, good threes, good fours.
Yeah. He's got this split coming off the inside here.
Yeah.
His mask is really what got me. You know, he looked spindly in the trail cam pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like and when I saw him that first time we had that first encounter, that's what I could tell. I mean, like if you look at like this side over here,
right?
I mean, it's every bit of, you know, I think I don't know what it measured at. I got the score sheet somewhere.
But the mask matches his like structure, I guess.
Exactly.
Definitely. Exactly.
But I mean, this side's just got things going on everywhere. It's kind of even hard to show it.
Beautiful buck, man.
This coming off the inside, but yeah, he's
that right split too. He's got is cool because how deep that split is awesome. Oh,
it comes all the way down to. I was at one point. I was like, I wonder if they'll count this as two separate points.
Yeah,
you know, you're like, give me that mass measurement. That'd be sweet.
No kidding, right? That's awesome, yeah, man.
You know, I've shot good deer before. I killed a, you know, 173 inch 10 pointer spot and stock out in western Kansas 2 years ago.
That's a big buck. That's a big 10 pointer.
And he was a stud. I've killed, I think four or five actually 160 plus caliber
awesome, deer with my bow.
But you know, nothing's gonna compare to this one, you know.
Yeah. Well, I like in the beginning you mentioned, you know, you get permission pieces, but you had to put in work to get permission pieces and you're offering work and doing like you're working to upkeep your permission on these pieces.
Exactly.
And I do the same thing. So I can relate to that with some of the pieces I have. And a lot of people just think, well, he's lucky because he gets people let him hunt in these spots. It's like, well, when you're watching football, I'm mowing paths and taking care of ground for a farmer to let me hunt. So it's, you know, it's, we joke around on the podcast and say, those are the must be nice guys. That's fine. Let them be the must be nice guys. So.
Oh yeah. You don't know. I mean, how many comments of these guys, you know, oh, it must be nice to pay somebody to let you come shoot deer like that. Or, you know, like,
of course.
Dude, I've been, you know, some of these pieces I got permission on, I've been, you know, cutting firewood for them or, you know, just doing chores around their house, you know, cleaning gutters. Well, I mean, just stuff that you know, that people need help with. And, you know, it's just a, you know, a token of appreciation, you know, for letting us enjoy what we want to do, you know, use their land to do it. You know, it's all about being respectful.
Of course. Yeah.
And, you know, good things happen to good people is, you know, what we've always said. And so if you just, you know, treat people with respect and, you know, just put in hard work, you know, good things will happen. And, you know, I really
agree, think 100%.
It's a testament to it, man. And just, you know, it's been rewarding to, you know, shoot this deer, but almost more rewarding is still, you know, on the same farm where we put in these food plots and all that work in the summer, is seeing those trail cam pictures come in. There's, you know, 8 yearling does and, you know, like 7 more mama does
being utilized by everybody.
Yeah. And they're just run. I mean, they're safe. They're healthy. The herd's healthy. You know, it's just cool to see it, you know, and, you know, it's not like we're complete conservationist, but you know, we're doing our best.
Yeah, of course. You care for the animal, man. And you know, we're on DeerCast here, so everybody here gets that. Yeah. I would say most people do. It'd be weird if they didn't and subscribe to DeerCast, but shout out to you if you're here. But yeah, I people just think on the outside, we just look like we're killers and they don't get it. Yeah. People who get into it understand, like, we care about deer on a level that it's hard for someone not into it could even comprehend.
So, I 100% agree.
But man, well deserved on a big giant buck. You're obviously a big buck killer. You care about what you do, and I appreciate the hustle, man, and sharing that story with me.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate you having me. You know, DeerCast has been huge. You know, for my success too. Mm-hmm. I did one of the Giant Tracker articles for DeerCast, and you know, everything I said was true. Like, we literally use it, you know, before we hunt. Look at, you know, the pressure, because it's hard to find, you know, barometric pressure and all that stuff.
Yep.
And really interpret what it means. Like, to be honest with you, I don't even know what it, you know, how it affects deer. I just, you know, I look at what DeerCast says and, you know, that'll take care of it for me.
It's like like a Swiss Army knife for like,
it literally is.
It really is. Cause I'm with you on that. Cause I like to see it where at the top of the DeerCast app, everyone here knows, of course, but, and this audio version goes out, those people might not know, but the way it's laid out, it's all right there at the top. So it's not like you have to like check 5 different apps to right get there. What you need. It's all right there on top. And then it gives you kind of gives you like the formula, whether or not that's good or bad. So you kind of learn it as you look at it. So I know what you're saying.
Exactly. So like I said, that's been a good tool for us, but you know, our whole family keeps up with everything you guys are doing over here, with your and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you guys do, you know, great productions and love all the videos and hunts and stuff. So
yeah, they're the best.
So keep up the good work there. I'm anxious to hear some more of these Giant Tracker segments.
Hell yeah. I'm excited. It's cool getting to talk to everybody that's killed like a super big buck. And it's everyone we've interviewed so far, just good red blooded American, and they all have like great work ethic. And so it's averaging out to show, like you said, good things happen to good people. And hard work makes good opportunity. So,
exactly.
Well, cool, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Real quick, it's funny. I just have to show this off only because it's here. My buddy Austin Chandler is coming to the studio here. He should be here any minute, actually. But I picked up his rack for him. He just killed this buck. Time we're recording this 2 weeks ago. Oh, as I drop it, he just shot this.
Oh, dude.
It's a 190, 189 and 4/8.
Dude, that's gnarly. Look at the hole in that main beam. From a fly or something.
Yeah, the bot fly hole sounds vulgar, but it's not.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I measured him up. I'm an official measure, and I put the tape on him. The day he found it, he let it go overnight, and it got destroyed by coyotes, which is why it's. He left it 16 hours and it was gone. 100% loss, like just a huge bummer. But the thing, you know, you can see how freaking big it is. It's just
huge. Yeah.
Framey with a drop. Yeah. So.
I mean, these big deer, the frames are just, it's what gets you.
Look at that. You don't see that on a Zoom call very often, a 200 something inch and a 190.
that's not something you're going to get very often.
You don't get that at your work meeting in Zoom usually. So pretty cool. I just had to show it off because I have it here. And
sweet.
Why not? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I killed 166 inch buck. And then I feel like when this thing's in studio, I got to keep him hiding. And I got him here. Since we're sharing, we're running a little long, but that's all right. There's mine. But it's kind of.
Oh, funny. That's awesome. Yeah.
So he looks like a 2-year-old compared to the one I just held up.
No, he's got all that trash on that base.
Yeah,
that
he's awesome. Got a bunch of funky stuff. I actually didn't even see.
Yeah,
this point it's hard to see on the call, but
yeah, it's all down into his fur. I bet right there.
Yeah, I saw the top. Kind of looks like just like a king crab type setup, but
that's cool, man. Anyway, congrats on that. That's a stud.
Thanks, man. Sharing big bucks. So lots of fun.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, I appreciate doing this. Hey, if you want to shout out like your Instagram or give anybody a shout out or do anything like that, go ahead.
Yeah. If you want to, you know, follow me on Instagram, it's BP_4 on Instagram. And, you know, I'd really just like to shout out, you know, all those serving our country. Just thanking for what they do. You know, we wouldn't be doing this if they weren't doing what they're doing. So
100%.
That's something that hold dear to my heart. So
awesome. Yeah, man.
I do appreciate you having me. It's been cool.
Of course, man. Hopefully we run into each other at a show or we'll get together or something like that at one of the consumer shows or something this year, maybe. So.
Absolutely. That'd be cool.
Awesome. Iowa Deer Classic. Do you hit that one up?
I haven't been to the Iowa one yet. No, but I have done the Kansas one. And then I'm looking at doing a couple more here. Actually doing, maybe trying to do a few with Garmin here. So
cool. Awesome, man.
One, so, yep.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, man. Everyone, thank you so much for listening and watching. Hope you enjoyed this Giant Trekker. A lot of big bucks just popped in at the end there, which hard to complain about. So, all right, guys, you know what to do. Go shoot a giant. We appreciate you.